fucking idiots brought me fucking door. Look at the fucking state of this. Huh? British fucking police. Look at the fucking state of it. You fucking knobheads. Fuck my life.
There, folks. About a year ago, I made a video on how the British public are manipulated and have their opinions formed by PR companies and ad agencies, at the behest of the government, of course. The public's response to outrages such as the Manchester Arena bombing would be funneled into a certain direction. Anger, calls for revenge, and harder political solutions would be drowned out by a pre-packaged narrative based on unity and togetherness. This is the template we've seen used again and again. Light a candle for, pray for, hate will not divide us. The British government seems to take the public reaction to these events at least as seriously as it takes the events themselves. There's a certain set of scenarios possible, even likely to happen in modern Britain. It's likely that someone will plan a terror attack on the London Underground at some point in the future. What are the potential ramifications of that? One of them is widespread anger at the group responsible. And so it makes sense that anger is preempted and replaced with a narrative that the establishment feels more at ease with. Together we are love, pray for whatever. The trick is to present it as something organic and grassroots. What I think surprised many people was the lack of a conspiracy. It isn't a secret, and these PR companies are right out in the open, usually run by hipster millennials with degrees in social media studies or whatever. They're a business, and their business is manipulation. But then again, that's exactly what any other ad agency or PR department does. That's their function. So when we look around us today in lockdown, do we see signs that we're being manipulated and that these companies are once again feeding a narrative to the masses to mould their thinking on the topics of the day? Why are all these weird videos of the police and nurses, dancers popping up? Has the NHS become a religious cult? Well, I mean, in actual fact, I think that'll have to be a separate video. But who made the creepy video of minorities saying that we should pray for them? And why did they make it? In the case of the minority video the other day, that one's quite easy. It was Bridge Studio, Public Relations Department centred in London. This particular exercise in emotional manipulation went down like a lead balloon because it was too on the nose, too combative. Its message was to shove into the minds of the public that their lives were in the hands of minorities now and you'd better be nice. It was a clumsy attempt at addressing a wider problem of holding the usual discourse around multiculturalism intact during a time of turmoil and crisis. The endless videos of the police and nurses dancing are actually better because they serve a purpose, even if they are cringe. They're, as they would say, putting a human face on what is now called key workers. Again, the risk for the government is that the public become alienated from the police, especially in a time when the police are checking people's shopping bags for non-essential packets of biscuits. Don't worry about the cops questioning you on your evening dog walk. They're just the same cheeky chappies who you saw dancing and clowning around in that Facebook video. In all of these cases, the aim is, as Bridge Studios describe in their mission statement, to shape how they feel about you, except the they is us and the you are the clients, and the clients would more often than not appear to be the Home Office and their so-called nudge strategy. You may have seen some statistics on minority groups being overrepresented in the coronavirus patients. You need a bit of a nudge in the right direction if that's the case. The nudge is the soft power, and the soft power is propaganda. In Britain, we don't really have a ministry for propaganda. That's old and stale, and everyone would see through it. What we have is ad agencies and PR companies who've worked for multinationals and globalist institutions. The product they're selling is the government and its ideology. The public mood how the public think of or perceive an event or a set of circumstances has become just another commodity. Managing that mood has become a business model, and a pretty lucrative one as well, I would imagine. If we're talking about capitalism and people being brainwashed into consumer drones, we take for granted that the messaging will be the work of a slick agency with a postmodern slant on this or that product. An ad agency today knows more about emotional manipulation than any totalitarian regime of the past. And yet people still dislike the idea that something so banal could be manipulating the masses. It also makes perfect sense for the political class to outsource their messaging to the best people for the task. And they are the best people for the task. But all of this raises some uncomfortable questions for a society which, at least in theory, is a liberal democracy made up of free-thinking individuals. A skillful ad campaign can convince a woman to spend £7,000 on a handbag. Does she really love that handbag, or was she convinced she loved it by a glossy presentation? Does she love the bag, or did she love the ad? Postmodern thinkers like Baudrillard pointed out that, in effect, the ad and the idea of the bag is the bag in a more fundamental way than the bag itself. What they're selling is the idea. The point that I wanted to make here, though, is how much agency does an individual have when they're being emotionally manipulated to the degree that the British masses are? Liberal democracy functions by free individuals making informed decisions based on sound arguments, facts, reason, and logic. But this presupposes a population which is rational, logical, and knows the facts and is immune to lies and emotional manipulation, which obviously isn't the case. The individual can only make decisions and form opinions based on the information they have. If that information is cynically produced PR spin, then they will form their opinions on that basis. Just to repeat again here, PR campaigns aren't even official narratives. The genius is that the masses think this is just the general mood, the moral and good position to take. It's just organic and grassroots. Again, no rationalism or facts anywhere in sight. It's worth pointing out that each individual within the mass thinks that they've arrived at a given opinion through their own agency and would squeak with outrage if you suggested they'd been manipulated. And what does it say about the nature of the society that we live in that these unprecedented levels of mind control even have to exist? This is why, I think, so many people feel alienated and a sense of unease in 21st century Britain. Essentially, we live inside a permanent advertising campaign, but it isn't products, it's ways of seeing the world, or narratives of soft power by millennial bugmen in public relations departments. And more often than not, they aren't even lying, they're just, well, nudging you. If you watch an ad for a McDonald's burger, but you remove all references to the burger, what is it that you actually have left? Well, you have a feel-good message without a product. But if the message is the whole point, and instead of a product, a burger, you get an ideology instead. Do they have a master plan to take over the world? No. They are the guys who are selling the £7,000 handbag. The rough guy in his mid-30s who drives the new Audi across the mountains could be you. And that Big Mac isn't really slop. It's succulent and juicy and fulfilling. And of course, those diverse NHS workers are dying for you. And the cops are doing a brutal job, but they do cringy dances for you as well. It's all for you, because you are a good person. And you will understand, because you are a free-thinking individual. I'll catch you later, folks.